السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وی ناؤ کم ٹو دا نیکسٹ صحابیہ حضرت خولہ بنت مالک بن ثعلبہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہا With regards to Hazrat Khawla radiyallahu ta'ala anha, it is mentioned here in the kitab that she was an extremely eloquent and well-spoken person. Her story is being related to teach all Muslim women what to do when they have problems with their husbands. She has mentioned by Allah The opening verses of Surah Mujadala were revealed concerning myself and my husband, Hazrat Aus bin Thabit bin Samit bin Samit, Hazrat Aus bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala. When he grew old, he became irritable. One day, when he became angry with her, he blurted out the words, "You are like the back of my mother to me. You are like the back of my mother to me." When he made advances to her, she exclaimed, "Never. By the being in whose control is my life, you shall never approach me." She therefore forbade him from engaging in any relationship with her until they clarified the matter with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, when a man makes a statement like that, and a man says, "You are like the back of my mother to me," then this statement can constitute a talaq, can constitute a talaq-e ba'in, not even a talaq-e raj'i, a talaq-e ba'in. So this is why, now if it's a talaq-e ba'in, the lady has to go into iddat, and only after, if they want to get back together, they have to make a nikah again. Right, so it's not like talaq-e raj'i where you can just get back together within the iddat without a nikah. So this is why she never allowed him to approach her. As hard as he tried to get her to submit to his advances, she fought him off and he was left helpless. Right? Now in today's times, there are many situations like this where women are being given three talaqs by their husbands in an argument, they are fighting, the husband is giving talaq. The wife sometimes is demanding the talaq, then he gives the talaq. Now after that, to save face, they just keep quiet about it. No, it was just in the heat of the moment. Allah Pak will understand. There's no need to tell anybody. Let's just keep quiet. We just carry on living as normal. These people are living in zina. They must rather go forward like Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said, "No, first we have to clarify this thing with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is the status of our nikah?" She then went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and presented her case thus, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my husband has consumed my youth. I have given birth to his children. I have served him all my life. And now that I am an old woman and my children have left me, he has carried out zihar with me." Right? Zihar is that same statement that he made there. "If my small children are left with me, they would probably die of starvation. And if they are left with my husband, they would be destroyed." What she is saying is that the bigger children, they have left, they are gone now. The small children, if I have to be separated from my husband, and my small children have to come and stay with me, they will die out of starvation because I'm poverty stricken, I got nothing, right? And if they have to stay with my husband, then they'll be totally destroyed. He won't know how to look after them. As she was saying this, she raised her eyes to the heavens, saying, "O Allah Ta'ala, I plead my case before you. Reveal a command to your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam so that my difficulty is alleviated." Each person must always remember, every door in this world can close for us, but Allah's door will always be open. If we turn to Allah with a full yaqeen, proper conviction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always find a way out for us, no matter what situation we may be in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the opening verses of Surah Mujadala. You know, the 28th sipara, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي. Right? The meaning of that ayat is, Allah had certainly heard the speech of the lady who debated with you concerning her husband and who complained to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala was listening to your discussion. Verily Allah Ta'ala is all hearing, all seeing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then addressed Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha saying, O Khawla, your cousin, referring to her husband, right? Your cousin has grown old. So fear Allah Ta'ala with regard to him. In other words, exercise sabr, be patient with him. When the verses pertaining to zihar were revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha to inform her husband that he would have to free a slave in expiation of his act of zihar. When she told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was unable to do this because he had no money, he had no slave to free, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he will then have to fast for 60 days. 2 consecutive months he must fast. She submitted that he was unable to do this also. See, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they were honest, right? They were honest. He's an old man now, he's gone weak, he won't be able to fast for 60 days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he should then feed 2 meals to 60 poor people. Give them breakfast, give them supper, 60 people, give them 2 meals on one day. She informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that her husband would not be able to afford this either. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then offered to assist by supplying some dates. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave some khajur and said, okay, tell him to feed the people this khajur. Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha then said that she would also supply some dates to assist her husband. That she would also, from her side, she would also give some khajurs to help her husband to be able to feed these 60 people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam thereupon said, you have done well. Go and act charitably towards your husband and treat him kindly. Treat him kindly. So imagine now, after all that dispute and whatever, when it came to Allah's hukam, she remained firm. She said, no, I'm not going to allow you to even touch me because you have made zihar. You have made zihar and now I don't know what's going to be our situation, so I won't even allow you to touch me. Right? But now when it came to assisting the husband to get out of the problem, she didn't say, oh well, you made the problem, you sort it out yourself. No, that wasn't her attitude. Her attitude was that let me assist him, let me help him. Today's ladies, they have an attitude, well, this is my money, my father gave it to me. I'm working, I'm earning. Now, sometimes the husband is battling, he's got debts, he's got problems. And the lady is sitting with the money and she's seeing her husband in debts, but she's not going forward to pay. What type of muhabbat is that? What type of compassion and kindness is that? So a lady, if she has got extra monies, etc., over and above her necessities, her husband is in a problem, she must assist her husband. Allah Pak will give her barakat. Charity begins at home. Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha was such a distinguished woman in Islamic history that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to her plea, and the ummah will remember her as long as the Quran Sharif is recited. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was once riding his donkey when an old lady stopped him to say something. Right? When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala stopped, the people asked him, why did you stop for an old frail woman? I mean, you are an Amirul Mu'mineen. You are the Amirul Mu'mineen. This lady, I mean, you are going about, you've got a lot of work to do. This old lady just stops you and you immediately stop and you listen to what her problem is. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to them, don't you know Who this old lady is? She is Khawla bint Tha'laba radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to her from above the seven heavens. How can Umar not listen to her when Allah listened to her? Allah listened to her. How can Umar not listen to her? The story of Hazrat Khawla radiyallahu ta'ala anha displays the perfect confidence that a Muslim should have in Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always provide the solution for every problem because He brings ease after every difficulty. Everything comes from Him. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, it is certainly Him, that means certainly Allah, who makes people laugh and cry. It is only He who gives death and life. Verily He grants affluence, that means wealth, and poverty. Allah Ta'ala creates every favorable condition just as He creates every unfavorable condition. He makes people happy just as He can make them sad. He gives wealth to whomsoever He pleases, and He takes wealth from whomsoever He pleases. There is therefore no need for anyone to be despondent. When faced by any difficulty, all that one needs to do is to perform wudu, perform two rakat salah with concentration, and then plead to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One should supplicate to Allah ta'ala by saying what Hazrat Khawla radiyallahu ta'ala anha said. She said, "Oh Allah, I complain only to you." See, there is a big difference. She is not complaining of Allah. Why did Allah do this to me? Why am I going through all this? No. Those are words of kufr. We mustn't utter those type of words. She is saying, "Oh Allah, I complain only to you. Oh Allah, I'm putting my problem at your doorstep. I'm pleading my case to you, oh Allah. You come to my assistance. Oh Allah, I plead my case to you. Oh Allah, my home is deserted and my children are distressed. Reveal a command to your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that my difficulty is alleviated." Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, "O you who believe, seek help by means of patience and salah. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin." Verily Allah Ta'ala is with the patient ones. No matter what the difficulty, if we seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of being patient, and we read salah and ask Allah Pak for help, Allah Ta'ala is definitely with the patient ones. My Shaykh Hazmah Ispatiya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is to give this example that if a person goes to write an examination paper, right, and the examination paper is extremely difficult, she's looking at the paper and she doesn't know where to start. You know, they say she doesn't know author from matter, right? And then the examiner comes along and the examiner asks, "What is the problem?" And the student says, "You know what, I don't understand anything." And the examiner says that, "No problem, just put your hand into my hand and I will answer all the questions for you." So now will this person have any problem now? Now there's no problem. That same difficult paper now becomes very, very easy. So this is exactly what happens when we will resign ourselves to Allah Ta'ala with sabr and salah. It is like Allah Pak is saying, "Look, put your hand into my hand. I will write the paper for you. Then will we have any problem?" We got no problem whatsoever. It is therefore necessary for every woman to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the solutions to all her domestic problems. Allah Ta'ala is the only one who can solve one's problems. Whenever a woman is faced with a serious problem, she should seek counsel from a reliable person so that it may be addressed. Sending it out on all our BB contacts, we're not going to get good advice. People who got time to waste with BB and all that, most of the time they are just friends, right? They're not really going to, they're friends in inverted commas, you know. If we don't read Fajr, they don't worry about it. If we're not wearing niqab, they don't worry about it. They're sharing filthy jokes, filthy pictures. So we don't just discuss these type of problems with anyone and everyone. When a person has got a problem of this nature, then check in the family. Is there some pious elderly person that I can go and talk to? And don't go and talk to another man of your age, around your age group. Don't go and talk to another man unless you're going with your husband to sort out a problem. A lot of times it has happened that a lady has got a problem in her marriage. Right? Now she thinks that no. That person is my husband's friend. Right? Now they're the same age group. Now she says, let me talk to him. Maybe he can talk to my husband. And what happens after a period of time? This lady now gets involved with the husband's friend. And now where there was a small problem, now the problem becomes so much worse. Because now she is in the wrong. First she was complaining that the husband was in the wrong. Now she is committing a guna. So go to a reliable person, elderly person. If a person has got a sheikh, then correspond with the sheikh. Or there is some senior alim, or maybe in the family there is a senior lady, or maybe your grandfather is a pious person, whoever, go and talk to them, get good advice and see what should I do in this situation. This is necessary because when certain problems are pent up, what they mean pent up is you keeping the problem inside you. You're not talking about it and we're not finding out that, look, in this situation, what must I do? We thinking, no, we can handle this thing ourselves. So we're just keeping quiet about it and all these problems are now pent up within the person. So what happens? They cause one's mental and physical health to deteriorate. It starts taking a toll on your health. Although Allah Ta'ala is the one who solves all problems, Allah Ta'ala has instructed us to consult with others. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam consulted with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the first wahi, he did not keep the anxiety to himself and bottle it up within himself. Instead, he went and told Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha about it. Then together with consoling him, she took him to her cousin Waraqa bin Nawfal, who was learned in the previous scriptures. In this manner, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam found comfort and reassurance. Right? Now if we're not going to seek advice, if we're not going to go and talk, then what's going to happen is going to lead to depression. You see, people have different personalities. Some people, they will bottle all the problems up, right? And what happens to them then? It leads to depression. They become like a recluse. Right? Now this makes the problem worse. Because for whatever reason, the husband was not happy with the wife or whatever. Right? Now when she starts getting into a depression, and now she's not worried about dressing up properly, she's not worried about cooking nicely, she's not worried about cleaning the house, so what's going to happen? The problems are going to get worse. Right? And she herself, she's not going to be able to handle and cope with the problem. Other people react in a different way. Other people with different personalities, they react, now they'll bottle it up, right? They'll bottle it up for a while. Then all of a sudden, one day they'll explode. Right? Now sometime when they explode, it's over a small thing. You see, when you got a whole 5 liter of petrol, you just need a small spark. You don't even need a big flame. A small spark, and that petrol will cause a huge fire. Right? Now when this lady is, all her problems are pent up. Now she's like a volcano waiting to explode. Right? Now just one small problem and she will take off. And now the husband will use that against her. That I just came and I just said this and you took off with me like that and like that. Now in the meantime, what the problem was is that there's 3 years or 4 years of or 5 years of pent up anger within the person, which the person did not resolve. Right? We didn't get advice on how to handle the situation. We didn't sit down and speak to the husband and say, you know what, I'm not happy about this or I'm not happy about that. Can you explain this to me? Explain that to me. Right? We just kept it all inside. And then eventually when we explode, then we create a whole problem. Right? If a woman's husband is extremely short-tempered. If he is extremely short-tempered, you know, you get some men, they say they've got a short fuse, you know, for everything they get angry. So what she must do, she should recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim 7 times and blow on his food or drink. Right? When blowing, tiny droplets of sputum, that means your saliva, should also be allowed to fall into the food and drink. Now don't let him see you doing it, man. Don't let him see you doing it. Then he'll say, what, are we running short of salt? Your words are so salty. Your words are so salty. Now you're running short of salt, so you're blowing your saliva into the food to create salt in the food. He may think like that. Right? So don't let him see you doing it. You do it quietly, you made his tea, you got his tea ready, or you got his toast ready. So you read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim 7 times and blow on there, and tiny droplets of sputum, like me, poo, poo, poo. So you get tiny droplets of sputum that will come onto that food and drink. So Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, he has expressly mentioned this in the commentary of Mishkat Sharif. The same prescription can be used for one's children and mother-in-law if they are short-tempered. And you must teach your husband this wazifa also, because sometime maybe you'll be short-tempered, then he can do it for you. If this is done diligently, inshallah ta'ala, the results will be visible after 40 days. Right? So you must call, you don't do it one time and expect now everything is going to come right. You have to carry on doing it for 40 days. Right? Tempers will be cooled and love will be generated between the members of the family. Such are the blessings of Allah Ta'ala's pure names. Now we come to another subheading, being patient with an aged husband. The incident of Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha also teaches us that when one's husband becomes irritable and difficult as he becomes old, one should exercise patience even though he may sometimes become intolerable. You know, the ladies, they sometimes they say, how long more am I going to stomach this? You know, I can't take this anymore. When Hazrat Khawla radiallahu ta'ala anha complained of this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised her saying, O Khawla, your cousin has grown old, so fear Allah with regard to him, meaning exercise patience with him. This means that a woman should be even more patient when her husband ages and will therefore receive greater rewards. When a person is young and healthy, everyone is prepared to be with him. However, when he grows old and becomes sickly and temperamental, people stay far away from him because they will have to offer some services. At this stage, it will be only a good wife who will stay loyal to her husband. Only a good wife will agree with everything her husband says at this stage and who will fulfill his every wish before he even expresses it. It is only such a dedicated wife who will refrain from anything he dislikes and who will take the blame for anything that he finds unpleasant. If she becomes frustrated with his behavior, she should think that Allah Ta'ala readily forgives when people fail to fulfill the rights they owe to him. So many rights we owe to Allah, we are not fulfilling those rights, but Allah Pak readily forgives us. Similarly, she should also forgive her husband. If she does this, the spiritual benefit she will receive shall be tremendous, and so too will be the rewards that she will receive. Right? Now, I just want to mention one more point and we conclude. See, many a times, a lady, she says, but Maulana, you know, I gave him the best years of my life. I gave him the best years of my life. Right? Now, if the wife gave the husband the best years of her life, so didn't the husband do the same? The husband also gave the wife the best years of his life. So it's a two-way street. It takes two hands to clap. So both must appreciate one another. We mustn't just be full of ourselves. That no, I gave so much, I cooked, I did this, I did that. If you were cooking so much, who was bringing that much of money in the house? If you were cooking so much, who was bringing so much of money in the house? You say, I looked after all the children. So the children you were looking after, so who was bringing the money to look after those children? So wasn't he also working, gave the best years of his life to you and the children? So it's a two-way thing. If both appreciate one another, then both will be shukar guzar. Allah Pak will bless them with even more ni'mats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.